Praise the Lord. I was very thankful for God's angels coming back from Peterborough. Highway 7 was really bad. In fact, I can only recall one time about 40 some odd years ago when it was like this, with trucks going by and the slush going up on the windshield, and you'd have 3 or 4 seconds where you can't see anything. And just hope the guy in front of you didn't hit the brakes, and that the guy in the back there didn't panic and hit the gas pedal, and that the trucks didn't come across. It was an interesting trip. Anyway, I want to talk about praying for the lost this morning. I think it's apropos in light of recently, we just had a funeral service for my mother-in-law. And it hit me that, you know, had she died 8 weeks earlier, she'd have gone to hell. That's the reality. The Bible says in, I believe it's Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. And that it's a serious judgment because it determines where you're going to spend eternity. And in her case, up until about 8 weeks before her death, her eternity didn't look very good. And she was quite adamant about her attitude towards God. But people have been praying for her for some time. And amazingly, she changed her attitude. And I'm quite certain she's pretty happy about that change today. How important it is to pray for the lost. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, blinded them. So it is critically important that the people who know God intercede on their behalf. And we all have people that we would like to see make it to heaven. It's a serious thing. In fact, the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to end up in the hands of an angry God. We don't want that to happen. We do not want that to happen. But in order to pray effectively, and I'm gonna give you probably one of the best teachings you're going to hear on praying for the lost this morning, so I encourage you to take notes. If you have someone that you really want to see make it to heaven, but you're going to have to apply this diligently. That's the key. That if we don't, it's like Jesus said, or God said in Jeremiah 29, he said, you'll find me when? Search for me with all your heart. You know, it's funny he didn't say, you'll find me when you search for me. You'll find me when you read the Bible. He said, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's, what do you hear when you hear that, all your heart? I hear diligently seeking after God until you find him. See, it's not enough to throw up a prayer. You have to connect with God. Connect. And we can connect, but we don't always do that because that takes effort. It takes effort for us to do that. But the times that I have done it, I heard from God and he said to me, it's done. Or it's not done. And I knew what to do. But it takes a seeking of God on His timetable. It wasn't something where, okay, let's say a few prayers, hope for the best. There is a seeking of God until you find Him. Until you find Him. But that's going to take effort. And so the first scripture, and we have a number of them, but the first one is 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Knowing that Jeremiah 1:12 tells us that God is always watching over His word to perform it. He wants to. Where are we here? Now this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. 2 Peter 3:9. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Well, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody lost. But He's looking for some people. He needs others to intercede for them. And if no one intercedes for them diligently, they'll be lost. That's the reality. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what's God's will? And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we know when we're praying for people to get saved, we're praying in the will of God. Now there may be, in fact there often is, specific strategies for some individuals when you're praying for them. And that's why it's so important to connect to the Holy Spirit, because He knows the strategy. He knows exactly what you need to do to get that particular person saved. And He'll tell you. He will tell you what to do. But it takes the time and the effort to sit and wait on the Lord, to minister to God, to hear the voice of God. See, we need to understand that unsaved people are victims of really of the devil, and he's blinding their eyes. He's blinding their eyes. We read that earlier, or I did rather, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So one of the things we need to do is to address that. That it's important not to say things like, especially family members, that they're stubborn, are hard-headed, they're never going to change. Those are the things that we don't say. We may think them, but you don't say. Because the words that you're speaking, they're powerful. The words that we speak have power. And if we are saying that so-and-so, Joey, is so mule-headed, he'll never get saved, well, we've just helped the devil. There is no one, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. See, we know from 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural mind cannot grasp the things of God. So the person that we're trying to witness to initially their mind just can't grasp the things of God. They don't see it the way you do, because they don't have the Spirit of God within them. So they look strictly from the natural and from the influence of the world. The things of God are spiritually discerned. So it's important to break the power of the devil. Break the power of the devil. Break it. Let me read 2 Corinthians. Let's read 2 Corinthians together. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded. He's blinded their eyes, so they can't see, they can't understand. It's like putting the blinders there on horses. They can only see this. Well, that's what the enemy has done. So we need to break that stronghold. We tear it down. We pray over them, Satan, I break your power over Uncle Bill, that you will not blind his eyes to the gospel. You will not, in the name of Jesus. And then we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And scripture is vital to what we're doing, because God watches over his word, not our opinion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. And that's what we are. We're in a war. You are fighting for the soul of the person you're praying for. You're fighting for their soul. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And they have a stronghold over them. The devil's put it there. There's a stronghold over this person. They can't see. They can't grasp and understand. And that's in addition to just the stubbornness of the flesh. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, the Word of God and prayer, spoken in the love of God, breaks these strongholds, pulls them down. The person begins, and it could take time. It takes time to do it. The stronghold didn't get built overnight. It probably won't come down overnight. So we bind the enemy. We bind him. How do we do that? Well, let's look at what Scripture tells us, because that's what you're going to have to stand on. Let's start with Matthew 18, 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, in the heavens, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we bind the enemy. We bind him from influencing the mind of the person we're praying for. We break the power of the devil and the demonic realm from influencing the person we're praying for. We break his power in Jesus' name. How does that work? Well, you look here at Luke chapter 10. I believe it's verse 19. The 70 have returned, and they said, Lord, even the demons, verse 17, are subject to us in your name. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and behold, I give you, Jesus said, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now, of course, we know he's not talking about that literally. And over all the power of the enemy. So we have the authority in the name of Jesus. to break the power of Satan over the person we're praying for. I break your power over Joey's life in Jesus' name, devil. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I claim his full deliverance and salvation, and he belongs to God, not to you. And then we pray. Second thing is we pray for them to have ears to hear and eyes to see spiritual truth. For example, Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 14 to 16, I believe. Yeah, it talks about, see, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they've closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so we pray that their Joey's eyes would see the truth, and that he would hear the truth right in his heart. He would acknowledge the truth of the words that are being spoken to him. Pray for them to see it, to hear it, to understand what they're hearing. The Bible talks about, in the parable of the sower, how when someone hears the word and doesn't understand it, what happens? The enemy immediately steals that word out of their hearts. So we pray that that doesn't happen, that that word penetrates their hearts. And if you're praying for your kids and they're living in your house, lay hands on their pillow. And just pray that as they sleep tonight, Lord, that your spirit will speak to them, that their hearts will meditate on the truths of the Word of God and on the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, number three, we pray for their heart to be good ground. What does that mean? Soft and ready to hear the truth. Example of that. Well, again, the parable of the sower. There's four soils, but Luke 8:15 gives us the best example here. We pray for this. See, we're praying scripture and God watches over his word to fulfill it. Where are we here? Now let's talk about the seed. The seed that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So you pray this scripture that Joey will have a noble and a good heart, that he will hear the word. He'll hear it. His mind will be open, his heart will be open, and he will keep it. That word will penetrate into his thoughts and into his heart, and he will meditate on the things that the Word of God says. I pray, Lord, that he has an honest and good heart. And when he hears the word of God, he'll also be a doer of it and patiently study and meditate over it and put it into practice. You pray that, that God will work in their hearts. Because if you're not praying for them, and nobody else is, not much is going to happen. You can see that this is not a 2-minute operation. This is every day, every day, every day. So you have to really have a heart for the person you're praying for. And then you got to stick with it. Stick with it. Number four, pray that the Lord of the harvest sends laborers across their path. Other people. Most people who are close to you, especially your own family, they don't want to listen to you. They don't like it that you know more than they do. And they don't want to hear you preach to them. Let me tell you that from experience. Well, Where am I reading from here? Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Ask God to bring people right across their path. God has other laborers who are more neutral than you are in the eyes of the person. You know what I'm saying? Christine's sister, Suzanne, when Christine got saved, she kind of said, well, you know, Christine's gullible and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when I got saved, she said, there's got to be a God. And I'm not lying to you now. That's what she said. There's got to be a God. Because if he can change him, meaning me, there has got to be a real God. And she got saved. Now, that's not a testimony I share very often, but it is what it is. Pray that God will bring people across their path. Father, I ask that you would send laborers across Joey's path, that they would speak to him or her in a way that they can understand and that they will hear the gospel in their inner man. Hear the gospel. Number 5, give thanks to God for the answer. Give thanks to God. Why? Because he says so. Philippians chapter 4. Give thanks to God. Verse 6, I believe it is here. 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, it's easy to thank God after you've seen the answer. But we need to thank God before we see the answer. While we're waiting, we thank God. Thank God that you're working in so-and-so's life. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle you're doing in their heart. I thank God that Joey is seeing the truth of the gospel and that laborers are crossing their path. How often do you have to do that? Well, you do it till they're saved. You do it till they're saved. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you know what it says? Anybody know?
But without faith, it is possible to please God. And he comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him.
What word stands out there? There should be two things that really stand out. Faith is one of them. Without faith, you might as well go home. Diligently. Diligently. What does that mean to us, diligently?
Persistently until it's done.
Say it again.
Persistently until it's done.
Persistently until it's done. Until it's done. Until it's done. If you seek me with all of your heart, he said, that we connect. We connect with God. We connect with the Spirit of God. And here, for specifics, this particular individual may require some specifics. In your time of waiting on the Lord and seeking God and ministering to God, you'll hear them. You'll hear the specifics. God will tell you what needs to be done. He wants them saved. So you're not fighting against the hand of God. You're joining with Him. You're joining with Him. That person, whether they realize it or not, desperately needs God. Desperately. Regardless of how stubborn and resistant they may be, they need God. And you have the privilege of interceding on their behalf. So you don't take 20 people and get overwhelmed and quit. Pick one. Just one. But be diligent about it. Diligent in praying for the salvation of that person. Following the steps we talked about today. Soaking them in God. Soaking. Lord, let your presence come on them. Let them just know that God is watching over them. Take the blinders off. Break the power of the devil over them so that they can begin to see. Be kind and gracious to them. Let them see God in you. Don't ram it down their throats. It don't work. They just get mad at you. Sometimes you've got to have the wisdom of God sometimes to know when to back off. Because they get their back up and then it's really hard. Ask God to give you a love for that person. A real love for them. So that when you're praying, you can pray with the heart of God for it. Who knows that you may be the person that keeps somebody from going to hell. Amen? Yes, sir.
All this is predicated by the fact of how you are related to God and what your relationship with God, and you clean up your act and you don't come with offenses that you have to settle before you start interceding for somebody. Because other than that, it will not work. If I don't settle the offenses that I have against others in my life, I cannot intercede for someone. My prayers with the enemy will just laugh at my prayers. Can't bring all those things to God because you haven't settled some things in your heart.
Amen. That applies to whatever I'm asking. If I'm asking God for healing or really anything, if I keep offenses in my heart, I think it's Isaiah 66. God says He won't even hear our prayer. So, given that that's attended to, then these are the steps that we proceed. And we stay with it diligently until we see the person come to salvation. And it works. That's a wonderful thing. It works. Any other questions? Yep.
You said pray for specifics, and God will give us specifics about how to pray. Is it important to know if a person is involved in another religion? Is it important to know something about that religion to be?
When you say other religion, do you mean cult?
As in Buddhism.
Sorry?
Buddhism.
Oh, Buddhism. Okay. Yeah, I think it's important to break. You don't have to study all the intricacies of Buddhism, but I think it's important to break the power of that spirit over the person because they're under that influence. Is that an answer? Yeah. It's an undertaking to do this. It really is. It's an undertaking. And even though God wants to see this come to pass, it's going to require effort and staying with it and listening to the specifics of the voice of the Holy Spirit in speaking to you about what to say, maybe to do something or to pray in a particular manner. The Spirit of God will lead you for that person, but you have to be able to hear them. That's what takes the time. It's developing a listening ear. And of course, as you develop that listening ear, if there are issues in your own life, the Spirit of God will speak to you about dealing with them too. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. When you bind something, you have to loose?
Yeah, you have to loose and go together.
Well, let me think about that for a moment. Offhand, no. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. We went over to pray over someone who had a spirit of fear. And I bound the spirit of fear, but I didn't loose to anything else. I just bound that spirit of fear. And the results within about 10 minutes were very visible. This is the story I told you about Mark, you know, Mark Paul. And he hadn't moved off a couch for 3 days because he was so bound with fear. And you could, as soon as I walked in the room, you could feel the oppression in that room. Like it was unpleasant, to say the least. And he was very agitated and on the verge of incoherent, we'll say. Not quite, but on the verge. And so it was immediately obvious to me anyway what the issue was. So I asked the Lord, I always ask God, and he says, this spirit of fear, break it. And so I bound the spirit of fear. I don't recall loosing anything. In about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, he was free. Yep.
I've heard in Pentecostal realms of binding and loosing, but what they're saying is I bind the spirit of fear and I loose the spirit of God. But that, I know, but that's what they say. So that's where the binding and loosing. But when you bind it, as you said,
okay,
the spirit of God is not allowed to do it. That, you don't have to loose the spirit of God, loose anything else. It's there. Strong man.
Well, that's it. And they said, you listen to God. If he tells you to lose something, lose it.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. 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 I think that part of whatever you loose on earth can be positive or negative, you know, depending on what the things you say. If, for example, someone who's always criticizing their children, it looses some things we don't want to see happen or come to pass. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you lose the Holy Spirit and or God's word over somebody?
I'm not sure if I'd use the word loose. I release it. You know, I mean, I guess six of one and a half dozen the other. But releasing the word or speaking the word over someone will loose it. You know. And again, listening to God, whatever you got to hear with the Spirit of the Lord. Each situation is very specific. You know, I remember praying for someone's mother who had died, and God brought her back, and we were all happy and rejoicing and about to go home. And the Holy Spirit said, if you go home, she'll be dead in 2 hours. And it was like, okay, so what do we do? Well, stay here and pray for her heart to be strengthened. And that took 3 hours. I mean, 3 hours. And then after 3 hours, the Holy Spirit then said, okay, you can go home now. It's done. And she was well for 5 years after that, which is what we ask God for. So there are steps sometimes. You know, it's all a matter of hearing specifically the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he'll tell you. He's quite clear about that. He will tell you. So we're good? All right. Lord, help us to be passionate about you, about your word. Help us to follow you with all of our hearts. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we would increase in our knowledge of God, and that we would increase as well in our sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we need God. We need God. We need the counsel of God. We need the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so we ask you, Lord, help us. Help us, Father, to hear you clearly, and help us to have a heart for the lost, that we would diligently apply the Word of God in the situations that you lead us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.